Oh my goodness. Loyal Karna with his mom and dad was also in the song some way. Son of Jean, hier gerade gehört auf Flux FM. Und Loyal Karna ist jetzt hier bei mir. Und diesen Song habe ich natürlich nicht umsonst ausgesucht zu Beginn. Da müssen wir auch gleich nochmal drüber reden. Aber jetzt erstmal welcome. Thank you for being here again in the studio, Loyal.
Thank you very much for having me back. It's starting to feel like home in here.
Yeah, see, we already put a bed in the other room for you case you want to just take a nap or so. There's also a fridge for you.
Yeah.
There's also an AC, air conditioned, some books.
Microwave.
Absolutely.
Everything I need.
So, last time you were here, and I think it's your third time already that you're here, right?
Yeah.
We already talked about all your influences, how important family is for you, which we just heard again in the song we just played here.
Every time.
But last time you were here, your album was not out yet.
No.
So we've got some things to talk about today.
Yes, we do indeed.
And let's just immediately start with the song that we just heard. There's this huge importance of family, friends, in your music, in your life. And you actually put mom on the record, the same way like mom is on stage sometimes in some concerts.
Yeah.
And your dad, who passed away in 2014, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a moment when I heard the song for the first time, Son of Jean, that made me tear up
and
made me cry. No, don't be sorry. It was beautiful, but it was this this pride and this love only a mother can have. I was just thinking when I heard it.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it to put her on there? Did she say, could I also do something, or did you ask her?
It was my idea. So basically what it was is my dad had made this album that no one knew about, and it wasn't until after he passed away that we found it, and I sampled one of my dad's tunes on the Son of Jean. And so at the end, the piano that my mum is speaking over was my dad's piano, and so I figured if my mum did a poem, then I kind of brought them back together, kind of immortalized them together forever.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of what it was about for me.
Beautiful.
She was up for it.
Beautiful idea. Also er sagt gerade, bei diesem Song haben eben beide mitgemacht, seine Mutter und sein Vater, der 2014 gestorben ist, der aber auch Musiker war, und es gab da also ein Stück Musik, was niemand kannte, das ist nicht veröffentlicht worden, und man hat da auch so, also aus dieser Musik, aus diesem Song, ein bisschen Piano gesampelt, und die Mutter hatte dann also ein Gedicht, dass sie über ihren eigenen Sohn geschrieben hat, was auch nochmal die Liebe und den Stolz über Loyal selbst zum Ausdruck bringt, mit hier reingebracht in diesen Song, sodass Loyal also in der Lage war, beide wieder zusammenzubringen im Jahr 2016 bzw. 2017, wo Mom und Dad sich also hier bei Son of Jean verewigt haben. Und wir hatten das letzte Mal, als er da war, auch schon drüber gesprochen, Familie, Freunde, das ist was ganz, ganz Wichtiges in seiner Musik, in seinem Leben. Und müssen wir vielleicht heute gar nicht mehr unbedingt so drauf eingehen, denn die neue Platte ist draußen. Yesterday's Gone heißt sie, und insofern können wir uns jetzt ein bisschen auf diese Platte stürzen. So, let's talk about this record, which was now the last time. A record that is influenced by 90s hip-hop, by East Coast, West Coast, American hip-hop. You don't keep it a secret.
No.
But how did you approach making this record?
You know, it came about quite slowly, came about quite genuinely, just from, you know, spending time with people who I'm big fans of and who I've become friends with, and starting to work, you know, from samples and from instrumentals and from my own life. It was like, it was just slowly but surely we started to piece together this this little project. And it really took shape towards like the halfway through last year, like just before summer. That's when I had quite a lot of tunes that I'd started in the beginning of last year. And then by the end of the year, I had them together. And I was like, you know, these all sit together and they all make sense. And yeah, it just felt like finally I had something that I was proud of, and I'd said everything I wanted to say. So that's when it was ready to come out.
So, but how do you do it musically? For someone like me, I've never done a record.
Yep.
And especially I've never really worked with samples. How do you actually do it?
Like, how it happens is when I'm writing, I tend to write the first little bit in my head when I'm walking around. My mum always told me that you shouldn't write like in front of a piece of paper, because a piece of paper's got nothing to offer you. So get out and kind of do it yourself and figure it out. And then when that's done, I then leave it. And then if I hear a piece of music that kind of resonates or connects to that thought that I had, or that little bit that I wrote down, then I finish it off then. But it was just recorded in loads of different bedrooms in London, in South London. It was really just, it was an idea of just starting things and waiting to finish them when it felt right. So there's a lot of stuff that was started, and it took a while to finish them, but the samples were cool. I like to write the samples before there's any drums on them or anything sometimes, just because it's pure, you know, it's the pure music. Obviously, it's not my music, but it's something that we can then build into something else.
And do you at the same time listen to shitloads of records to make like notes? Yeah,
you know
take
what?
Something out of here, take something out of here.
It's difficult because I kind of struggle when I'm working on stuff. I don't really listen to other music that much. It kind of comes in waves. Either if I'm making music, I'm not really listening to much else except for stuff that I know. I don't listen to much new stuff. I listen to kind of stuff that I know I love. You know, like I listen to a lot of Common all the time when I'm making music, and maybe some Slum Village and stuff and Tribe Called Quest. But I don't seem to branch out. I'm not that brave mm-hmm. with listening to fresh music, because I think sometimes it's very easy to be swayed and be influenced mm-hmm. by stuff, and stuff that maybe isn't stuff that's true to you, you know. And so I try and listen to stuff that's true to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really. But then, yeah, like now when I'm touring, because it's kind of difficult to write music when you're on the road, I'm listening to a lot of music and trying to soak in as much new music as mm-hmm. I can. Because I know when I start writing again, it's all going to have to stop.
All right, so you have to put it somewhere safe in the back of your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Also er sagt, er hat sich lange darauf vorbereitet auf diese Platte, hatte natürlich im Vorfeld auch viel Musik gehört und hat dann irgendwann Anfang letzten Jahres angefangen, diese Scheibe zu schreiben. Hat sich viel unterwegs hingesetzt, beziehungsweise hat viel unterwegs geschrieben. Seine Mutter hat ihm mal gesagt, er soll sich nicht vor ein weißes Blatt Papier setzen, denn dieses Blatt Papier kann nichts anbieten, da steht nichts drauf. Und insofern wird ihm auch nichts einfallen. Also hat sich viel durch die Gegend bewegt und hat dann dabei geschrieben. Hat auch gar nicht unbedingt so viel Musik gehört währenddessen, weil ich wollte ganz gerne wissen, wie das ist, wenn man ganz viel sampled auch, aber sagt, er hat das eher vorher gemacht. Während er geschrieben hat, hat er sich gar nicht so richtig getraut, irgendwelche neuen Sachen auch zu hören, weil man dann schnell abgelenkt wird und sich gar nicht mehr auf das konzentrieren will, was man selber möchte. Und er hat sich eher selber vertraut. Er wusste, was er wollte und wollte sich da nicht durch Musik ablenken lassen. So, The Isle of Arran mhm. is the opening track yes. of the record, which is a very, very beautiful opening
Thank
track,
you very
by the
much.
Way. It's with a gospel choir.
Yes, it is indeed.
It's also sample.
Yes, it is. It came through from a... I was with a guy called The Purist, who's just a producer from Brighton, lives in South London now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's got like a stack. He's been collecting samples and records for so long. So we listened through to loads of stuff he had. And he played me that. And as soon as he played it to me, I was like, yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I wanted. And it was the first time for a long time I've been able to write when I was like pissed off. Because when I'm angry, I can't really write because I don't know, I'm angry. I can't sit down. I want to get up and kind of work through it. But yeah, it was the first time I'd ever been able to go, okay, cool, I'm pissed off. I want to write. And just wrote and wrote and wrote and became quite obsessed with it, like kind of getting my anger out on, mm-hmm. on record. So yeah, it was a big thing for me. It's like the longest verse I've ever put down because it's like a 32 bar or whatever.
Do you remember what you were angry about?
What I was angry about? Yeah, it was just I think I'd had some trouble with like relationships and whatnot, but also like I was feeling like I didn't really have much in the way of like a male role model. So it was like it was an annoying thing. A lot of people were talking to me about, you know, because I heard that some of the samples about the Lord making a way and whatnot, and I wasn't against it. I was just like, you know, this is bullshit. Like I'm sat here and, you know, I don't have anyone to look up to or whatnot, and I've kind of got to do all this stuff on my own. I was to be fair, I was feeling quite sorry for myself. But I was just like, it shouldn't be this difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt. And so when I was writing it, I was kind of writing from that perspective, uh-huh. you know.
Well, the more interesting it is that you actually did decide for gospel choir, which we associate with religion with higher powers
completely,
or so.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. It was strange. It was just I felt like that I'd lost my belief. Not saying that I kind of had a belief that was religious before, but just a belief in mm-hmm. you know in myself mm-hmm. in humanity or whatever, you know. It was just like, yeah, a lot of people were pissing me off, and I couldn't. It was kind of getting too much. So mm-hmm. I'm glad it was, but it felt so good to get it down on paper and mm-hmm. to say all the things I wanted to say out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and I worked through it. And you know, it's funny listening back to a lot of the music on that album, but especially that song. Listen back to it and go, wow, you know, I kind of was in a bad place, but I was in an angry place.
Mm-hmm.
And now to listen back to it when I'm in quite a good place,
mm-hmm.
it's quite a nice
mm-hmm.
thing. And it's Absolutely. Cool to revisit it, to not forget that you come from where you come from, you know?
Absolutely. Mm. Also er sagt gerade, der Opening Track, der erste Track dieser neuen Platte, Yesterday's Gone, heißt The Isle of Arran. Und er hat es geschrieben, als er ziemlich sauer war, ziemlich pissed off war, und hat er diese ganzen Sachen geschrieben und hatte sich dann aber auch zu dieser Zeit eben mit einem Producer zusammengesetzt, der ihm wiederum einen Gospelchor vorgespielt hat, nämlich den wir jetzt auch gleich in diesem Song hören wollen. Und interessant ist bei diesem Song, dass es so einen Gegensatz gibt. Es geht in diesem Song viel darum, dass er seinen Frust sich von der Seele geschrieben hat, dass er auch so ein bisschen anklagend geschrieben hat, dass er nichts hat, woran er glauben kann, dass er eben auch nicht religiös war, hier keinen Gott vor sich hatte, den er zu Hilfe bitten konnte. Und das war einfach was, was ihn geärgert hat. Und desto interessanter ist es eigentlich, dass er gerade nun einen Gospelchor für diese Nummer gewählt hat. Und er sagt, im Nachhinein ist es für ihn auch schön, zurückzuschauen auf diese Zeit, um sich auch nochmal zu erinnern. Es ging mir nicht immer gut, so wie jetzt gerade, sondern da gab es eben auch Zeiten, wo mir so ein bisschen die Perspektive gefehlt hat. Und sich das heute anzuhören, ist auch eine gute Erinnerung daran. Es ist halt nicht immer alles eitel Sonnenschein. So, let's listen to this song.
Yeah.
And Loyal Kana hier mit The Isle of Oran, der erste Track der neuen Scheibe Yesterday's Gone. The Isle of Oran von Loyal Kana hier gehört. Der erste Track der aktuellen Scheibe, die Debütplatte ist draußen, Yesterday's Gone, ist also im Januar rausgekommen und ist ein wirklich wunderbares Stück Musik. I'm kind of curious to see how you're doing this song and the others as well tonight on stage. Whoever saw you already knows that you already have or always have a DJ.
Yeah, me and my DJ stage. Rebel, yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. Him. Last time I was at Lido, I saw you here at Lido, and it was kind of a revelation for me because I'm not necessarily the big hip-hop concert goer.
Yeah.
So I was standing in the back of Lido, and it was interesting for me to see the crowd as well, who really celebrated you, and rightfully so. It was a super, super gig, but it was also the whole rituals. Yeah. Like people were coming in, even when you had started already, people were coming in and doing the whole greeting ritual, which took like what felt half an hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, when are they done saying hi?
Hi to each other,
you know, with the fist. And then turn the back and then turn around, make like a, I don't know what. It was like, holy moly, is that what you do nowadays?
Yeah, it's how it goes down now.
But it was a great gig. And, you know, it was also, as we talked about before, it was a lot of family. It was a lot of love, a lot of kind of familiar feeling on stage.
Yeah, good.
So, tonight you're going to play at Gretchen, which is sold out. We still have some tickets, which we're going to give away in a few moments as well.
Yes, yes.
How's it going to go now on tour? You're doing a little bit of Europe and then you're going to Australia?
Yeah, so we're doing a bit more Europe. We finish at the end of this week and then we go back to kind of Scandinavia, do a little bit there. And then, go to Australia. And then hopefully if we can go to America, I'm not too sure about it. I'm still interested to see if the American people will accept me.
But, me too. Especially since it's so referential. There's so many references to East Coast, West Coast hip hop. Let's see. Have you heard any feedback?
I've heard bits and bobs. I've heard some good stuff and some bad stuff. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I think it's something. I think a lot of American people, all the English people that they know, have come from, you know, I don't know, kind of stereotypes and whatnot. So it's difficult to kind of come through there and try and be genuine, you know, when the stuff that they think is genuine is like Hugh Grant from Love Actually or whatever. So we'll see. I mean, it's a cool place to go. I mean, and it's hot there, so I need to go and get some sun. But we'll fingers crossed. If I can go out there and cause some trouble and make some people love it and some people hate it, that's kind of what I would like to do.
Was it already released out there?
Yeah, I think it has been. It's been released and it's online. So people who are trying to get their hands on it.
Okay.
We'll have got their hands on it. And there's been some good feedback, listeners wise, you know, not like industry wise. It's been brilliant. Loads of people saying, oh, come to this place, come to that place. But it's nice. I want to keep it as low key as possible out there because I think I can't imagine anything kind of weirder than being really successful out there. Might be kind of overwhelming.
So you want to wait for it a little bit longer?
Yeah. I mean, I want to get out there.
Take it step by step.
Dip my toes in the water, but nothing big. I'm not trying to be the next Drake.
You're too modest. Well, maybe that's paying off. Also, ich habe ihn gerade gefragt, wie es jetzt weitergeht. Er wird jetzt die Europatour noch beenden und dann nach Australien weiterzünden. Was ganz interessant ist, wäre ja zu sehen, wie das dann in Amerika läuft, denn gerade weil die Musik eben so viele Referenzen auch an diesen Ostküsten und Westküsten Hip-Hop in Amerika hat, wäre es ja ganz spannend zu sehen, wie die Amerikaner reagieren. Er sagt, er hat auch schon ein bisschen was gehört, manches war schlecht, manches war gut, aber er hat auch sehr großen Respekt, in Amerika tatsächlich zu spielen, beziehungsweise auch durchzustarten. Er sagt so, er will es erstmal langsam angehen, vielleicht mal ein bisschen antesten, aber das muss jetzt auch noch nicht sein. Er wird sich damit auch Zeit lassen und dann einfach mal gucken, wie das jetzt hier in Europa läuft, beziehungsweise in Australien und dann irgendwann vielleicht auch mal in Amerika ein bisschen vor größerem Publikum spielen. Wir geben jetzt ein paar Tickets weg, wenn ihr noch wollt, zu Loyal Kana heute Abend, und ich kann es wirklich nur empfehlen, dann ruft jetzt an, das ist die letzte Möglichkeit, denn das Konzert ist ausverkauft, 030-2000-9000, Loyal Kana heute Abend im Gretchen. And the last thing I wanted to ask you, what the heck is going on with Jürgen Klopp?
Yeah, I don't even. Fuck's sake. Yeah, yo, I can't even talk about it. Like that guy.
Can Jürgen, by the way.
I know. He just goes. Wow. Yeah. Whoa. I don't want to lose him because I love him and I don't care that things are going badly because they're still going better than they have ever gone before.
Yeah.
I've not ever gone before, but in the last like 5-10 years, this is the best we've been. But we're just playing so bad.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what to do. And what sucks for me is I can't even, because we're away so much, I don't get to watch the games. And so I'm out of the loop.
That is probably the reason, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Why they're losing.
Because I'm good luck. I'm a good luck chum.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to lose his job?
No, he can't lose. If he loses his job, then everything about football is wrong for me, man. Because he's a ray of sunshine in an impossible place. Like football can be such a dark place, and he's such a hero. I love him so much, but I'm so disappointed at the moment.
Oh.
I'm so upset.
How many defeats was it? It was 5 defeats in 7 matches pretty bad,
And we just lost 3-0. But that's the thing, because I don't watch the game. I don't know how we're playing. So it comes off my phone. It's like 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. Bang, another loss.
Yeah. Well, let's cross our fingers. I think the person who's most worried about this job is Jürgen himself.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I mean, he's a modest person in a way, to a very self-critical.
Yeah. I can imagine. But this is what breaks my heart, because he's trying so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of managers in the UK have been getting fired recently. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, it's the same thing here as well. I mean, and that's always a question that you wonder. It's like, really, is it really the coaches, the trainers?
But this
fault,
is the
you know
thing.
I mean?
This is always the thing, because I've always thought that it's like, you know, a team's doing really well with one coach, and out of blue, the team aren't doing as well with the same coach. How can it be the coach's fault?
I mean,
obviously, I understand that there are different coaching techniques and what they're doing, but the press and Jürgen Press and all the things that he is a fan of are brilliant, and they work and have worked for us. But I think it's just lazy. Some of the Liverpool players at the moment, oh shit, and there's nothing we can do about that. Yeah. You know? If you're slow, you're slow. You know? Yeah.
And I guess it's just a helpless action to fire the coach.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Well, it's like, what can we do? Let's fire the coach.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's so nice. How could you fire
Jürgen?
With that smile.
Also, wir haben gerade gefragt, letzte Frage, was ist los mit Jürgen Klopp? Liverpool hat 5-mal verloren in 7 Spielen und irgendwie ist der Wurm drin. The worm is in it, as we say.
Yeah.
You don't have that saying.
No, what does
it
mean?
Something's up, something's wrong, something's not working.
We just need Thomas Müller.
Yeah, exactly.
Thomas Müller.
Thomas Müller.
Ja, genau.
Aber Kloppy, wie gesagt, momentan nicht unbedingt auf dem Höhepunkt seiner Karriere bei Liverpool zumindest. Zurzeit läuft's einfach nicht und er sagt, oh Gott, ich wünsche ihm das so sehr, dass er erfolgreich bleibt eigentlich, aber in den letzten Spielen hat es halt nicht so richtig funktioniert. Und um Himmels Willen, man darf ihn nicht feuern. Immer dieses ganze Trainergefeuere, das geht gar nicht. Das ist so ein hilfloser Akt. Und er sagt, er liebt ihn so sehr, er mag ihn so sehr. Aber wir müssen halt gucken, ne, wie sich Liverpool demnächst tut. Thank you very much for being here, Loyal.
Absolute pleasure. Let's
keep our fingers crossed for you, for Jürgen, for Liverpool.
Yeah,
for my goodness, otherwise we have to change your... You have to change your club.
Yeah, I'll just change my career. Maybe I'll just save the club.
Yeah, you could do that too. Maybe in 3-4 years.
Yeah, three, four.
Do some Abramovich move or something like this.
maybe.
Okay, let's see how it works in the US and then
come
the next step.
Buy Liverpool.
Exactly. Okay, heute Abend also im Gretchen und wir sagen jetzt erstmal Tschüss mit einer Nummer, die ihr sicherlich aus unserem Programm kennt, nämlich Ain't Nothing Changed, Loyal Kana, und wir hören und sehen ihn sicherlich demnächst bald wieder bei uns.